You have your Bibles, if you'll open them with me to Matthew, the second chapter, beginning with the 13th verse. And if you're able, I wonder if you'd please stand with me as I read God's Word. The Magi have just left. And the scripture begins, "When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. 'Get up,' he said, 'take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him.' So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the prophet, or what the Lord had said through the prophet, 'Out of Egypt I called my son.' When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. 'A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more.' After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, 'Get up, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are dead.' So he got up and took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel." May God add his blessing to the reading of his word, and you may be seated. It's interesting about this passage of scripture as we talk about the Magi that have just left. They have brought these gifts to this Christ child. There was an acknowledgement that this holy child certainly was the Messiah. They recognized him and acknowledged him. And I don't know how the word got out, but the word was passing around. He is the Christ. Herod was afraid. He didn't like this young ruler being born in his kingdom. And he wanted to get there, and he wanted to take this baby out. But the Magi, because of God's presence and power in their lives, they went another way. When Herod heard about this, the scriptures say, he got mad. And he said, "Kill all the boy babies 2 years old and under." I'm not going to talk about that despicable act this morning, but I do want to talk about preparing for a trip. Because out of this fear, and because Herod made this decree, we find that an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. I can just imagine Joseph now. He's sleeping, his new baby, his mother. They just had the Magi leave. He's satisfied that he is going to be able to father the Son of the living God, the Messiah. And then in this sleep, a dream came. God spoke to him and said, "Get up, for your child is in danger." So in the middle of the night, this young man with his bride put all of his possessions and everything that he had on a donkey, and they made a trek across the desert in the middle of the night. We know that this was a fulfillment of prophecy as well, which we read already. We said that a voice is heard in Ramah weeping in great mourning because their other boys were killed. I can't imagine that kind of catastrophe in life where people would just murder innocent children. The passage of Scripture reveals an insecure and nearly insane old king who felt his rule was threatened when he heard that another king had been born. And when he couldn't find that child, he issued a decree, and it was to kill them. It's virtually impossible for us to imagine what it was like to be a parent in Bethlehem the night of that slaughter. To have a little boy, maybe 18 months old, who has captured your heart and the sparkle in his eyes brightens up your day. And then to have soldiers burst into your home, searching through every room until they find your son, carrying him outside to take his life from him. The anguish and the emptiness of it all. Yet that is a part of the Christmas story too. For you see, Mary and Joseph had been told by an angel that Jesus was to be the Savior, that he would save his people from their sins. But what was their responsibility in this? How are they to raise the Son of God? What were they to do next? And what did the future hold for them? There was so much uncertainty in it all. And we find in Verse 13 of Matthew 2, it reads that God's angel showed up again in Joseph's dream and commanded him to get up and take his child to Egypt. And not only that, but to stay until further notice, knowing that Herod was on the hunt for his child. I can't imagine what I would do if I had a dream like that. I'd probably be filled with fear before I got angry. And then I'd probably be wondering, where is God in all of this? He is so supreme, so powerful. Come down and strike this man. Fear and those emergent trips come to all of us. I know several times I've been filled with fear as well on these emergency trips, but I'm reminded of the story about Stanley and his fear. He went to a psychiatrist and he said, "Doc, I've got trouble. Every time I get into bed, I think there's somebody under it. I get under the bed and I think there's somebody on top of it. Under, top, under, top. You got to help me. I'm going crazy." And the doc said, "Well, just put yourself in my hands for 2 years. Come to me 3 times a week and I'll cure those fears." He thought that's pretty good. He'd been wrestling with these. He said, "How much do you charge?" He said, "Well, I charge about $100 a visit." And old Stanley said, "Well, I'll think about it." Several months later, he saw this doc in town at the local grocery store, and the doc went up and said, "How are you doing, Stanley?" He said, "Well, I'm doing fine." He said, "Well, I noticed you didn't come back to see me." He said, "Well, not for $100 a visit." He said, "A friend of mine cured me for $10. He said, "He cured you for $10? How'd he cure you for $10? "He just told me to cut the legs off my bed." So we have fear that comes to us in many ways, and there are many cures to our fear. But we find in this particular scenario of the Scripture, the fear that healed was through the very presence and power of Almighty God. These young people, who also may have been very afraid like other parents, were calmed by the very presence and practice of worshiping God in their lives. They had a fear very difficult to overcome. The fear of losing his son, fear of death, maybe even fear of being responsible for allowing the Son of God to die. And then preparing for a trip by foot to Egypt with an infant child, the mother and all their belongings on a little donkey. Maybe fear of being caught, of dying, fear of letting others down, fear of living alone, just to name a few of the fears that come to them and to all of us at times in our lives. You have to ask yourself, why would God wake Joseph in a dream like this? Well, let's just take a step back and remember. Just after the Magi left by a different way than they had come, Herod learned he had been outsmarted. He ordered every male child, as I said, 2 years and younger, to be executed. The soldiers did not get to the baby Jesus in time, for God himself was ahead of them and warned these parents to flee for Egypt. Now notice the word here, flee. They didn't wait 2 weeks and pack their bag. They didn't make a checklist of planning. It says they fleed. Now, I don't know about you, but if you've ever had to make an emergency trip in the middle of the night, you may not be all together. I know that I can remember when I worked with a Marine security guard in Quantico. These Marines were trained to guard our embassies around the world, and they were working for the State Department, and my job as a chaplain was to go visit them. And I visited them all around the world. But there were times that they would call me in the middle of the night. And they say, "You need to be at the airport at 6 o'clock or 2 o'clock or whenever the next flight is out of. And get there with your bags and go to Timbuktu." In fact, sometimes I was in one foreign country and they contacted me and said, "You've got to get on a train and go down to Germany because we've got a problem down there." I was disoriented. And sometimes I didn't take everything I needed. Now, I don't know about you. Have you ever tasted a third world toothpaste? It's not very good. Much less even finding some, and then even a toothbrush if you need it. Not to mention all the other things that I may have needed or forgot. The point is that when you have to make a trip in the middle of the night and it's an emergency, you may not have all your stuff together. And it may be a little confusing. In fact, we have some people that are just afraid of flying. We have others that are afraid to go on a cruise. They're afraid of the sea. Some are afraid of a train. Now, those that are afraid of a cruise, we call landlubbers. They don't have their sea legs. But I will tell you that Mary and Joseph had prepared for this emergency trip. Maybe not this specific trip, not knowing where they would stay or exactly what they would do. They didn't know what the future held for them, but by faith, they prepared for this emergency trip before the trip ever came. You see, this baby Jesus, whose little body was jostled around on his journey into Egypt, would one day tell multitudes how God cared for the birds of the air and the lilies of the field. And if God would feed the birds of the air and clothe the lilies of the field, he said, then you mustn't be concerned about what you're going to eat or what you're going to wear, because God cares for you. And as Christians, we have an advantage of knowing that while we do not know what tomorrow holds, we do know who holds tomorrow in his hands. And he wants us to let him lead the way, just as he wanted Mary and Joseph to allow him to lead their way in their life by faith. And I will tell you, as this celebration of Christmas gets closer, we really need to understand to prepare spiritually for this journey. Now, some journeys we pack a suitcase. We make sure we have toothpaste. We do other things. But there are other journeys in which we need to prepare spiritually. And that's what I'm calling us to do in this season of Advent. As we light this candle of preparation, as we think about this season and preparing our hearts and our minds and our communities and our homes and everything else in preparation of the celebration of the Christ child. He is the reason for the season. And while I find that there's so many people in our world that are more excited about putting up their lights and spend more time about putting up their tree and more time shopping for presents, let everything crowd their life during this special season, when really every Christian should be preparing their hearts to celebrate the joy that came nearly 2,000 years ago in a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. As we not only prepare ourselves spiritually, but as we become the lights of Christmas, the lights of Christmas, shining our light of salvation so that others would know that there is something different about us, that there is something different that we celebrate in this season, that there is a focus in our lives about the baby Jesus that they also need. In our preparation for this season, we must really understand that God has already been speaking to us, just as he was speaking to Mary and Joseph. God has already been calling to us, just like he was calling and preparing Mary and Joseph. He is preparing you as a Christian. He's preparing me for this celebration if we'll just be obedient to him. I want to tell you that as we think about this, long before Mary and Joseph ever set off on this trip, there was another kind of preparation that had been done in their lives to prepare them for this emergency trip. You might ask, what is that preparation? Well, one of the things that they did as believers of God, we are told that, as shown in the scriptures, that they had a relationship of communication with God. They asked him, Lord, what is your will? Lord, are you sure? Lord, give me a sign. And we see the progression of how God worked in this young couple's life to bring about the greatest thing that's happened in the history of man, the celebration of the Messiah, the child, the holy child. The Bible says for us as New Testament Christians in James that if we lack wisdom, ask for it. If we ask for anything, God says he will give it to us. In faith, believing, according to his will. And we as Christians, every day, even before this season, in our daily lives, we should be in communication with a holy God, seeking his will, so that when those emergency trips come up in our life, there will be no fear. There'll be no doubt. There won't be any question. We will just know, like Joseph knew. Like Mary knew, like the early believers knew, This God who loved them loves us. This God who has a plan for their life has a plan for our life. The other thing that we found in this young couple's life, before the baby Jesus ever came into their life, we found that they were faithful in what God had called them to be. All of their lives, they had been faithful Jews. They had kept the law. They were in the synagogue. They heard the scriptures being read. They communicated with each other about their faith. They celebrated the great feast. They celebrated God intervening in their lives over and over and over again. They had the habit of being faithful to God. They had developed a habit of worshiping. They had developed a habit of serving. They had developed a habit of listening to His word. For these habits that we create in a relationship with God prepares us for an unexpected midnight journey and prepares us ahead of time for what comes. We find also that this young couple, we know that they listened to God as well. It was very interesting as we think about this couple. I think about this a lot when I read this scripture about little Mary, God visiting her and saying, "You have been chosen to give birth to the Christ." She probably remembered Isaiah, Jeremiah, the prophets of old. And this little girl who had never even been with a man, who didn't know anything about motherhood, that was just a young girl who went to synagogue faithfully with her parents, who had been betrothed. She listened, and she knew God's voice. It was not a surprise to her. It was not something she'd never heard before. I am confident that this young lady had been in conversation with God over and over again, that she would know God when He spoke. And this is part of our spiritual journey, to know when God speaks to us, to know His voice, to understand His will for us. And this young couple allowed the power of the Holy Spirit to engulf them, to be able to do things they never thought they'd be able to do. This young man, Joseph, I can just imagine how he felt. Someone said, "I hear your betrothed's pregnant. You need to stone her. You need to do away with her." The worldly wisdom. And God spoke to him as he listened because of a relationship that was a habit, a relationship that was ongoing. He was able to counter all the wisdom of the world and listen to the wisdom of Almighty God and said, "You have been chosen to raise the Son of the Most High." He did not listen to the wisdom of the world, but because he had listened to God many times, he heard Him. He heard Him. So he did not hesitate. This is our challenge. We've been here many times. Those of us who have been Christians for years, celebrating Christmas is not new. In some ways, it's a very great challenge for a minister to come up with something new and unique every single year about the holy birth of a child. But I hope this year that we can learn the lesson of Mary and Joseph, who did not just get a midnight emergency kit. Their life was in preparation. Their whole life was in preparation of what God wanted to do in and through him. And here we've got to understand that God wants to work in our lives the same way. He's calling us. He's calling us to be more than we think we can be. He's calling us to be witnesses to a Christ child that's born in this world, so that people who are without hope will have hope. People who are in darkness maybe come to the light. I want to share a story with you about a couple that I read about in Christianity Today. A young couple, 25 years old, decided years ago that they needed religion in their life. And so they went down and they found someone they thought was faithful who was a Mormon. And they became very active in the Mormon faith. They raised 3 children in the Mormon faith. The husband became the equivalent of a pastor or a deacon in the Mormon church. They took communion every week. They read the Pearl of Great Price. They were so committed and dedicated to their faith that she even got her degree and was a professor at Brigham Young University. Their children grew up. Their 2 boys went on mission trip for 3 years. The young man picked up a copy of a New Testament and started reading. And the power of the gospel stirred him to the point that he could not have rest. And he had to act upon it. And there was just a drawing from the word of God in his life, as his own testimony is given, that he called his mother in the middle of the night and said, "Mom, have you read the New Testament? You ought to read the New Testament. This faith is about grace. It's not about works. This faith is not about Joseph Smith, but it's about the Christ, the Son of the living God, a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes." His mother was horrified. And he got caught. And they sent him home in disgrace, and his parents received him in disgrace, hoping that they could help him. And he said, "Mom, just read the New Testament. Just read the gospel narrative." And she did. And their testimony is that she and her husband are no longer in the Mormon faith, and neither are their 3 children, but she claims that she has received Christ, the Son of the living God, a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, and newness of life, which has given them a new perspective, a new energy, a new life. And their joy is complete, their peace is complete. And this is what the baby Jesus does to all who believe. It overcomes everything of the world and speaks peace. It overcomes all the trials in your life and speaks peace. It takes away all the fears in your life and speaks joy, if we'll just let him. If we'll just allow him to do that, he will. You know, I will tell you that living the Christian life is not always easy. But where we fail most of the time is we don't develop those habits of following him, of asking for his leadership in our lives, asking for his wisdom, worshiping together with people of like faith and order, and praying and listening to the voice of God on a regular basis and reading his word. This is where we fall off the train track. And I promise you that if we are diligent in doing those things that God calls us to do, if we'll just develop that love for the Word of God and read it and let his Holy Spirit deal with us as he did this young Mormon young man, what he's done for others, he'll do for us. And then I pray, as we prepare for this Christmas celebration, that our spiritual journeys may increase, that our distance will increase, that we'll come closer and closer to the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. You may be here this morning and you've never really accepted Christ as your Savior. You may be here today and say, "You know, I've never really put my faith in the baby Jesus." I want to tell you, this church opens its doors and asks you, if you come, we'll rejoice with you. It's very simple. Just come forward and take my hand, and I'll lead you in a prayer of acceptance, and we'll be glad to receive you into the kingdom of God, just as God does. If you're here and you're not a member of a local church and you're a Christian, God is calling you to service. He's calling you to be a servant in the kingdom of God. And you join our church and we'll give you a job. And we'll let you work in the kingdom. We'll encourage you. We'll come around you and help you grow in your spiritual journey. And if you're here today and this Christmas is tough for you, difficult, why don't you come and let me pray with you today? And let's ask God to give you that peace and that hope and that joy that this season offers, so we can walk as lights in a dark community, that we might even as a group shine lighter than the lights on the tree. You come as we sing this hymn of invitation, Child in the Manger, number 189. You come as God leads you this morning.